I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of I Love Islam, welcome back, inshallah, azawajal. Like always, inshallah, we have packed segments, beautiful headings, beautiful topics, inshallah. And hopefully, we'll be joined by some kids in the studio as well. But before we do anything else, the first thing we do is we go to our first segment of the day, quiz of the day.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14.
Okay, then let's see what's the question of the day. The question is, which surah comes after Surah Hud in the Holy Quran? This is an interesting one. We are going to move to our next segment of the day, which is called My Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14.
Welcome to our segment, My Islam. Subhanallah, this is the segment where we get a chance to learn about the beautiful teachings of our religion. This is where we get a chance to learn about the beauty of our faith. Subhanallah. Today, the topic that we have selected is one of those topics that you can say is unmatched. There's no comparison. You won't find something like this anywhere else. This is the beauty of Islam. And Islam gives great importance to this topic. What is that topic? Let's look at the screen. Today, we are going to talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness. The excellence of forgiving. Subhanallah. What a lovely topic, isn't it? Excellence of forgiveness. Excellence of tolerance. This is something that beautifies your personality. That makes you stand out. Even when someone was angry with you, who doesn't like you, and if you show a kind gesture towards them, even they, their hearts will melt and they will be forced to say, oh, you know, wow, you know, this person, you know, who I've been hating so long, you know, he's not really a bad person. He's got a kind heart. That is something that we need to have in our character. We have to remember that Islam teaches us to forgive and forget. Subhanallah. Today, inshallah, I'm going to share with you some beautiful narrations which show the excellence of forgiving. Why should we forgive? How important is forgiving? And who do you forgive? Maybe we got a list of people who we think we shouldn't forgive. Whatever happens, I'm not going to forgive. Sometimes in life, it could be something small, or sometimes something can happen, something big can happen, some tragic can take place in your life, and you just don't forget the opposite side. Those who are on the other side, sometimes you don't forgive them. You don't let go. You just keep that grudge in your heart, and it keeps growing. Today, we are going to talk about the importance and significance of forgiveness. And where do we learn this from? We learn this from the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, our beloved master, last and final prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is the best example for us. When it comes to forgiving, subhanallah, our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is the best example. You cannot find anyone like aqali salatu wasalam, the beloved prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And this is just a glimpse of what I'm going to share with you today. It is reported on the authority of Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a great companion of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He says that once I was blessed to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, look how fortunate the Sahaba ikram were, those great individuals who had the opportunity to be in attendance in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That is amazing. They were so lucky, lucky people, and with their own eyes they could see these examples, these teachings of Islam. They could see them with their eyes. Subhanallah. So what happens once? Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is reported to have said that he says, once I was blessed to be walking alongside Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, whilst the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was wearing a special shawl. You know, like you have a big shawl, a cloth. Sometimes we wrap around our shoulders. In winter, you wrap around your neck, don't you, sometimes? So yeah, sometimes you have a big shawl. In Urdu, we call it chadar. And a big piece of cloth you wrap around your body. And Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had this particular shawl, which was from Najran. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had this special Najran shawl, which had thick and rough edges. Now sometimes some shawls, I remember some shawls are very smooth and slick, but some are a bit rough, aren't they? They have thick and rough edges. So this one was one which had rough and thick edges. It was a special, you could say, a custom, a cultural a shawl which came from Najran, which is a place in Arab. So the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was walking, and he had this Najran shawl on him. And what happened? Suddenly, a villager, a person who was a local from that area, he came from like countryside, from far, from the Arab side, and he just suddenly appeared, and he got hold of this shawl, and then he pulled it towards him. He gave a jerk. And because this shawl was thick and had rough edges, what happened? This left some scratch on the blessed neck of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Can you just imagine how rude this incident was? This person who was a villager, maybe he didn't know the manners. You can't say maybe, definitely in that case, he wasn't aware of the manners of the court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the best from the humanity, the best of the creation, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And he suddenly appears, he grabs hold of the blessed shawl, and he pulls it, he gives a jerk, and due to this, there's a scratch on the blessed neck of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And Allahu Akbar. What does he say? This villager who came, you know, he came very rude. He said to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, order that I be given something from the assets, from the treasures that Allah ta'ala has given you. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the mercy for the universe sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, turned his blessed attention towards him, looked at him, and then smiled. Allahu Akbar. Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam smiled at this man, this villager, and then ordered the Sahaba to give him some goods. So whatever that material, whatever it was, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam ordered the Sahaba, give him something. Allahu Akbar. The villager came. He came, he appeared suddenly, and he came across very rude. That was a nice way to come in the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. One, he jerked the blessed shawl of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and that left some scratch on the blessed neck of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And not just this, he spoke very rude in the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And he said, give me from that wealth that Allah ta'ala has given you. Allahu Akbar. And how did Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam react to the whole situation? The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam turns towards him and gives him a smile, and then whatever, and fulfills his need, what he was asking for, what he was looking for. Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave him that in a very nice and beautiful way. Subhanallah. My dear brothers, did you see, Allahu Akbar, that no matter how rude this villager was, our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam returned his rudeness with love, with affection, with forgiving. Subhanallah, this is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is the glimpse of an example that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has set for us. That's a message for all the Muslims all around the world, all the kids who are watching this, all of you and all of us, every single one of us. We need to remember this very important message that we learn from this narration. And that is, no matter how arrogant, how rude someone may behave with you, how, you know, sometimes some people come and they stand in front of your face, they scream, they yell, they shout, they swear at you, they say all sorts of things to you. But remember, your job, your responsibility is do good to those who wrong you. This is the beauty of Islam. Well, let's just look at it, how we would behave. How would you treat someone if someone came rude in front of you? If someone came, you know, he just pushed you. You weren't, it was unexpected. You were walking on the street, someone came and he just gave you a push. How would you react? Be honest, how would you react? You'll go crazy. You'll go wild. You'll scream at that person. And depending if you're stronger than that person, yeah, then you'll probably give him a bash. You'll have a fight with him. You'll have a quarrel. But if you're a weak person, you might not say anything back to him, but inside your heart, you'll have that grudge. You'll start hating that person. You won't like him. And you'll tell someone else to tell over him. You'll try to, you know, any first opportunity you get to get him into trouble, you'll make sure you get that person into trouble. My dear brothers, Islam is the complete way of life. Islam teaches us to be kind, to be nice, to show love, to be forgiving. Forgiving is one of the beautiful quality that you could have. But you will have to work on it. And let me tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy. The word easy might be easy, but forgiving is not easy. It's hard, it's tough. But that's why there's more reward. That's why there's great blessings in this. Subhanallah. Islam has set an example. And if we all start loving each other, being kind to each other, if you all start forgiving each other, then the world we live in, this would become a peaceful, a loving place. Everyone would enjoy. There will be happiness. There will be joy in our households, in our friend circles. You know, we would have mutual understanding. We'll have, you know, love for one another. But that's if we start forgiving each other. What happens to us? Something small that takes place in our life. Very small, minute, not even small, smaller than small. It's not even a thing to talk about. Something happens to in our life and someone might say something to us. Someone might look at us in, you know, in anger, and that's it. No, we let everything out. We scream, we shout, we start swearing, cursing each other. Yeah. And then, unfortunately, we live in a time where your hate for one another goes so far that you stop talking to each other. You say, that's it now. I'm never going to talk to you again. No matter what happens, I don't know you anymore. I don't want to know you. I don't want to even look at your face. That's not Islam. That is not the teaching of Islam. We are Muslims and we follow Islam. And my Islam, what does it teach? My Islam teaches us to forgive. Remember this point. My Islam, what does it teach? To forgive. So if there's any of you out there, if you're not talking to your brother, your sister, your mother, your auntie, your father, any of your loved ones, you know, you're not talking to them because you're, you have hatred in your heart because you're upset with them. Remember, Islam doesn't teach us this. Islam says, be nice to one another. Be forgiving. Subhanallah. Let me share with you another beautiful narration which talks about the importance of forgiving. Subhanallah. It is reported by one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He reports that the best of mankind, our beloved Prophet, the last and final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, said, whoever has three things, whoever has three qualities, three things, Allah Almighty will take his account on the day of judgment. Allah Ta'ala will take his accountability on the day of judgment with utmost ease and will enter him in Jannah, in paradise with his mercy. Whoever has these three qualities, our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, whoever possesses these three qualities, whoever has these three things in his character, Allah Ta'ala will make the accountability on the day of Qiyamah so easy for him. He will be successful at the time of accountability. And Allah Almighty will give him the entry to Jannah. Subhanallah, how great, how special are these three actions? What are they? Do you want to know? Come on then, let me share with you. What are these three actions? These special actions that whoever, these three qualities, if you have them in you, then inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will shower mercy upon you. Your accountability on the day of judgment will become so easy. And you'll have entry to paradise with the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Which qualities are them? What are them three things? The Sahaba asked in the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, what are those three things? Our beloved master, the mercy for the universe sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, said, number one, give to those who deprive you. Number one, give to those who deprive you. Number two, establish relations with those who try to break off ties with you. Make up with them who break ties with you. And the third, forgive those who oppress you. These are standard of life that our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has set for us. As a Muslim, we should try to live our life in such a way that we try to set, have that standard for ourselves. Never drop yourself below this. What are these points? Let's try to elaborate. Let's try to understand them. Number one, give to those who deprive you. So kids, there's someone, you know, is giving food to everyone else and they're not giving to you. Yeah. What do you need to do? Yeah. Do the same. Yeah. Ignore that person. No. You need to make sure you give to that person who doesn't give to you, who deprives you, who takes things away from you. Give something to him. Give something to him. Allahu Akbar. So if it's sweets, if it's chocolate, if it's invitation, sometimes you got a family function, you give invitation to family and friends. And what happens sometimes is people, they avoid you. They don't invite you to their family function. And you think, okay, no, they deprived us. They ignored us when they had a massive family function. They didn't invite any of our family member. You know what? When we have any happy occasion, we're not going to invite them. Why should we invite them? Why should we invite them? Any family party, any event that we have, you know, we will not invite them. If it's a khatam, if we're making dua for our loved ones who have passed away, we're not going to invite them. Why? Because they didn't invite us. So if they can't, you know, be nice to us, why are we going to be nice to them? That's not the way of Islam. Come on, kids. Try to understand. Our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has taught us a very important lesson. This lesson is a life lesson. We have to remember this all the time. And what's that lesson? Give to those who deprive you. those who ignore you. So someone in the family or in at school, you know, they're giving ice cream to everyone. Yeah, here's ice cream. They're distributing ice cream, but they don't give it to you. And then a day comes that you're distributing something. You're distributing sweets, crisps, chocolates, whatever. And, you know, you've got an opportunity to ignore that person. You know, give everyone else front of him, but ignore him. You've got that chance. But guess what? What does Islam say? Make sure you give it to that person as well. In fact, what would be nice, start off with that person. Give him the first invitation. Give him the first share of the food. First piece of sweets. Give it to him first. Why? Because we are Muslims and Islam teaches us to give to those who deprive you, who ignore you. So please keep that in mind. The second quality that we must have is that those family relations. You know, in Islam, there's a great importance of family connections. Your loved ones, blood relations have a very importance in Islam. Even if someone's a Muslim, just him being a Muslim is enough for us to be kind and generous towards them, to show love and affections. Remember, a Muslim, he might not be your family member, he might not be your relative, he might not be your neighbor, just because he's a Muslim, he believes in Allah, he believes in the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he has the correct beliefs. He is a true lover of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That is enough for us to show love towards that person. To look towards that person with affection. So if someone is trying to cut ties with you, something's happened, obviously sad things happen, don't they? You don't cut ties when you have happy occasions. People cut ties when they have arguments, when they have fights, when they have quarrels. Yeah, that's when you cut ties. That's what when people cut ties, don't you? Yeah. But Islam teaches us that whoever tries to cut ties with you, you make up with them. You try your best to make up with them. And sometimes, I'm going to elaborate this inshallah later on today inshallah. But keep that in mind, to make up with those who cut ties with you. They say, I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to know you. But you say, you don't want to know me, I want to know you. I want to make friends with you. And to make friends, no, you have to be humble then. You have to really go down, even if it's the other person's fault. Just forgive him. Just forgive him. Be kind to him. Why? Because that's the third quality the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has taught us. Forgive those who oppress you. Okay, you're angry with that person. You don't want to talk to him. You don't want to know that person. Why? Why do you not want to know that person? Because that person's a bully. Because that person, you know, has oppressed you. He's done injustice to you. He's, you know, ignored you. So that's why you want to, you know, you have hatred for that person. But what does Islam say? Those who hate you, those who oppress you, forgive them. Forgive them. Be kind to them. Islam is a religion. It's a way of living our life. It's a complete way of living our life. And Islam teaches us to be kind and nice with one another. We have to be. That's the only way. Because if we start hating each other, if we start cutting relations with each other, then our whole family structure, the society structure will break. We will not carry on. And this has happened in many societies around us. Just look around us in many communities. They're just single people. They just live alone. They have their own life. They don't have a wider circle. They don't have big community. Like the way, alhamdulillah, even today we have big Muslim communities. They get together. On many occasions in the year, they get together. They stand together as a family. Alhamdulillah. And now we have been joined by someone who's a regular face in this program. We have Nu'man Raza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Nu'man Raza, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing good.
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing good. MashaAllah. First of all, thank you for joining us once again. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. Can you tell me what I was talking about?
You are talking about the three qualities that you should have. And
can you try to remember them? I know you just come now, but let's see how much you can remember.
Being nice to the people who you hate.
Yeah. So those people who deprive you. Yeah. So be nice to them. So all three are that same category. All these three qualities are to do with those people who you hate or they hate you. Yeah. So the first category is that those people who deprive you, who don't give you. For example, at iftari time, what do people distribute?
Food packs.
Food packs. They distribute khajur, dates, water. What else? What else do they have in the menu?
Pakore, samosa.
Desserts. They give that out in the family and friends. So maybe someone who ignores you, they give it to everyone else, but they don't give it to your house. So they deprived you. They ignored you. They had an iftar party at home. They called so many people, but they didn't call you. So Islam teaches us to give to those who deprive you. Now, that's not easy, is it?
No.
But for a Muslim, it shouldn't be hard as well. We are Muslims and we need to remember, or even on those occasions, you ask yourself, what does Islam say? It's as simple as that. Whenever you are stuck in your life and you have problems in your life, just find out, ask yourself, study and ask the scholars and find out, what does Islam say? In this case, Islam says, give to those who deprive you. Simple. It might be a bit hard for your heart. It's not easy, but you need to go out. You need to do it. That's what Islam teaches us. Yeah, we are Muslims and we follow Islam. Subhanallah. The second thing was those people who cut relations with you, who don't talk to you, they're angry with you, they don't want to know you because of whatever incident that's happened in the past. And Islam says to make up with them. Don't cut ties. Islam doesn't encourage cutting ties, breaking family relations. Islam says be nice with them. Now, how can you be nice with them when someone doesn't want to know you?
Invite them to your parties.
Any event that you have, any family function you have, any program you have, or if you just remember them, any opportunity you get to get them involved, involve them. Speak to them, sit with them, spend time with them. Yeah, and inshallah, one day their hearts will melt, inshallah, azza wa jal. And the third thing was to forgive those who oppress you. Forgive them. Now, what does forgive mean? What does it mean? Inshallah, we're going to discuss this. When you say, I forgive you, what does it mean? We're going to come to that, inshallah. But now, because we have Nomar Raza with us in the studio, just to give a little break as well, we'll get Nomar Raza to recite a kalam, inshallah. Mm-hmm. He's been learning a kalam. This week, he's learned a kalam. And it'll be nice if you read the kalam with us, inshallah. And the kids who are watching this program, can I remind everyone, we have a question of the day. And what's the question? The question is, I think Nomar Raza is going to be confused as well. His brain's going to go blank when he hears the question. The question is, which surah comes after Surah Hud in the Holy Quran? Which surah, which chapter comes straight after Surah Hud?
Your prediction was correct.
Prediction was correct. MashaAllah. I know Nomar Raza. I know him really well. Why is it like that? Maybe Nomar Raza, if you were a Hafiz, not maybe, if you were a Hafiz, you would have known it. So next time, maybe before in the next program, you can do Hifz. Memorize the Quran, inshallah. At least you can do one thing, memorize the surah names. What do you think? Should you give that challenge? Are you up for that challenge?
90% sure.
90%. So, Khan, why are you 10% not sure? Why are you not committing to that challenge? Khan, at least tell us that.
Because it's probably going to take like 100 days.
It's going to take you 100 days to learn them surah names. No, I'm talking about learning the surah names. How many names are there in the, how many surah are there in the Quran? 114.
Oh.
114. That's it. You're saying it's going to take you 100 years. So you're going to learn one surah name, just the name, not the surah, just the name. You're going to learn that in 1 year. Next year, you're going to learn the next
one. No, I mean, it's going to take one quadrillion seconds.
So I think it's practical, and we're going to give challenge to Nomar Raza. Nomar Raza, let's see, before the next program, you have to come back. You have to know all the surah names by heart. Well, the challenge being given to you is one-way challenge. It's not sinking in at the moment for Noman Reza. He thinks it's hard. He can't do it. Oh no, it's going to be tough. Oh, how am I going to memorize? That's 114 surah names. Nah, I can't do it. That's what probably he's been thinking in the mind. Is that what you're thinking? So my prediction number two is also correct as well. Now, prediction number three. Inshallah, Noman Reza will come and he will know 114 surah names, inshallah, azza wa jal. You're going to do it. You will do it. It's easy. Yeah, just give it a try. You're going to give it a try at least. He's gone double blocked today. He's on freeze mode today in the studio. But we'll get him out of this mode. Don't worry. He's still trying to sink in that challenge. He's not ready. At the moment, he's not accepted that challenge. Well, the question for today is, which surah name comes after Surah Hud in the Holy Quran? But the challenge was that you need to open the glorious Quran and you need to find Surah Hud yourself and tell me which surah comes after Surah Hud. Okay? MashaAllah, some kids have already come into the play. MashaAllah, they've replied. We have, guess who's first today? The first message has to be from Glasgow. It's Ayana Noor Bhatti and Haris Bhatti. MashaAllah, both of them have come forward. And guess what? Both of them got the answer correct. Wow, well done, both of you. Ayana Noor Bhatti and Haris Bhatti, well done, mashallah. Both of you got it right. That's an interesting one. This is Muhammad Ali Usman. Muhammad Ali Usman from Newcastle. First of all, Muhammad Ali, where have you been? It's been a long time since you sent us a message. Where have you been hiding? Come on, I want to see a message from you every day from now on. So, you know, send us a message every day, inshallah. So, Muhammad Ali Usman, he says, I get mixed up with Surah Yunus and Surah this one. Well, this one, the one I didn't mention the name, that's the answer. That's the answer which I did not reveal.
No, but you revealed what the answer was for him though.
Oh, he knows, yeah. He says he gets mixed up. You're right. Sometimes people do get mixed up with the names. And but the question is, well, he's got it right though. The answer you gave is correct. Well done, mashallah. Today's answer, this is Hamza Raza Atari and Sumaya Nadeem. MashaAllah. Sumaya, this time, MashaAllah, you've listened, you've sent a message right at the beginning of the program. Well done. And guess what? Both of you got the correct answer. Well done. MashaAllah. Inaya Bakir again, MashaAllah, she's got it correct. And guess what? Inaya has also said, I have checked it in the Quran. MashaAllah. Well done, Inaya. So far, we've had Inaya from Oldham. She said she has checked it in the Quran. Well done, MashaAllah. And we have Saad Khalid back again from Burnley, UK. And he's come with a bang. He's got the answer correct as well. Well done. So what's going on, Omar Reza? You've gone blank and everyone else is getting it right?
It's because they have the Quran with them right now.
They have the Quran with them right now. That's an interesting one. Now, if I had it in the studio, I would have given you as well for you to find it. But I don't have it with you. Maybe someone is here in the studio, he can get the Quran Pak. That's a good idea. We'll do a practical exercise. Someone here, can you please get the Quran Pak from the main hall, inshallah, and then bring it to Noman Reza, and he's going to find the surah name, inshallah. Have you got wuzu?
Yeah.
That's good.
But what was the surah's name like?
Surah Hud. It's your own job to find Surah Hud in the Quran.
Surah Hud.
It's Ha, letter Ha, Waw, and Dal. Hood. Okay?
Okay.
That's going to be a challenge for Noman Reza. He's getting challenges today. He's got two challenges so far. So we are going to come to Noman Reza, inshallah, shortly. The Quran Pak has arrived, alhamdulillah, in the studio. Inshallah, we're going to be giving him a challenge. But before he has that challenge, he's going to be reading the Kalam to us, inshallah. So should we everyone, those who are watching this program, all the kids out there, should we start off with Durood Sharif? Let's read Durood Sharif before the Kalam, inshallah. Then the Kalam is a beautiful one. Kids love this Kalam. Adults love this Kalam. Everyone loves this Kalam. It's an easy Kalam to join in, inshallah. So everyone out there, can you please read nice and loud, join in this Kalam. Should we start with Durood Sharif first then?
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hasbi rabbi jalla ma fi qalbi ghayrullah nur Muhammad sallallahu la ilaha illallah tere sadke mein aqa sare jahan ko deen mila bedinon ne kalma padha la ilaha illallah Hasbi Rabbi Jalallah Ma fi qalbi ghayrullah Nur Muhammad sallallahu La ilaha illallah Sint Nabi Bujan gaya Aqa se usne ye kaha Karo Nabi batla zara Meri mutthi mein hai kya Simt Nabi wo jal gaya Aqa se usne ye kaha Karo Nabi batla zara Meri mutthi mein hai kya Aqa ka farman hua Aur fazl-e-rahman hua Mutthi se kankar bola La ilaha illallah Hasbi Rabbi jallallah Ma fi qalbi ghayrullah Nur Muhammad sallallahu La ilaha illallah Apni behen se bole Umar ye to bata kya karti thi mere aane se pehle kya chupke padhti thi apni behan se bole umar ye to bata kya karti thi mere aane se pehle kya chupke padhti thi behan jab quran پڑھا سن کے کلام پاک خدا دل یہ عمر کا بھول اٹھا لا الہ الا اللہ حسبی ربی جل اللہ ما فی قلبی غیر اللہ نور محمد صلی اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ میرے مولا میرے خدا تو ہی خالق عرض و سما تو ہی مالک روز جزا میں ہوں سراپا جرم خطا میرا مولا میرے خدا تو ہی خالق عرض و سما تو ہی مالک روز جزا میں ہوں سراپا جرم خطا پھر بھی تجھ سے ہے یہ دعا وقت نزا جب آئے میرا لب پہ بس ہو ایک صدا لا الہ الا اللہ حسبی ربی جل اللہ ما فی قلبی غیر اللہ نور محمد صلی اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم ما شاء الله that was a beautiful qira well recited well practiced ما شاء الله may Allah Ta'ala bless you and may you keep reciting the naat of the prophet صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم right now Marza ما شاء الله you have the glorious Quran in front of you ما شاء الله and you got a challenge now You need to look in the Quran and find Surah Hud and you need to tell me, you can't shout the answer though, okay? You can't shout the answer, but you need to just let me know once you found this next surah, the surah after Surah Hud. Okay, so let's see if you can find. We're going to leave that little task to Noman Raza for a while. We're going to come back to him, inshallah. We've got some more messages. By the way, we had a challenge for Noman Raza a little earlier. And the challenge was, he needs to memorize the surah names of the Holy Quran. There are only 114 surah names that he has to memorize. And his challenge is to learn all them. That's a challenge. And we did ask for help. We asked our audience for help. And guess what? Inaya has come to help. Inaya says, Noman Raza should read Ta'awudh and Tasmiyah. And read Durushi first and after. Then recite Ya Nafi'u 20 times. Ya Nafi'u, Ya Nafi'u. So do this special wazifa. This has come from Inaya. Maybe she's read it from somewhere. Okay, read this wazifa, practice this, read the A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, read Durood Sharif before and after, in between, read 20 times, Ya Nafi'u, Ya Nafi'u. Yeah? And if you read this 20 times, inshallah, now you'll be able to memorize, inshallah. So let's see if you can practice that. And Haris Bhatti has come back, mashallah. He said, yes, uncle, I did look through the Quran with the help of my mom. Mashallah, well done, Haris. Proud of you. Mashallah, may Allah Ta'ala bless you and your whole family. Mashallah, in the studio, we have been joined by another kid who's here. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you?
I'm good.
Adam, you were supposed to bring someone with you. He's not turned up again, has he?
Yeah, I tried to bring him here.
Maybe. I think we need to find a way now. Yeah. We need to find a way to get him out of the bubble. And we need to bring him here, inshallah. May Allah bless you. Mashallah, Adam has joined us. Lovely kid. He comes regular and performs his salah in Fizan-e Medina, an education center. Adam, may Allah Ta'ala bless you. Noman Raza is still busy. Mashallah, he's looking in the glorious Quran, looking for the surah name. Where are you looking in the Quran? Shall I give you a clue?
Yeah.
Okay, the clue is the surah names are on the top of the page, top left side. Can you see a name on top left side?
So is this my left side? Yeah.
Yeah, that is the surah name. So you need to find the word Hud. Okay?
Okay.
So shall I give you the second clue?
Yeah.
It's after where you're looking at. Can't tell you too many clues here.
Okay.
Okay. Shall I give you the clue?
Yeah.
Why should I give you a clue?
Because you
need to use your brain. So let's see how quickly he gets to the answer. So you found Surah Hud. Okay then. Mashallah. Well done. Now keep looking next now. When that name changes, that means that's the start of the next surah.
Oh, I think I know. Yeah, I know.
You can't say the answer loud though. That's the deal. You can't say the answer loud. Okay, Noman Raza, you need to stand up properly. Say it properly, sorry. Back straight.
Okay,
hold the Quran with you. Hold the Quran behind.
I know the answer.
You know the answer? You found the answer?
Sure, I said the first letter.
I'll let you off there. No, tell me which spara is it?
I don't know Arabic spara.
It says the English numbers as well there. Come on. Have a guess. What spara number is it? It's easy.
It doesn't say the spara English number one.
On
this
the top
one.
Right. That number there on the top right.
I think that's 12.
Wait. Yes, it is 12. That's a clue now. That's a big clue. Spara number 12. And which this surah that we're looking for, which letter does it start with?
Y.
The letter Y. In English, the letter Y. And in Arabic, the letter?
Ya.
Ya. The letter Ya. Okay, that's the biggest clue now. We can't give you too many clues. Come on, mashallah. That was a good exercise. Mashallah. Noman Raza thought it's going to be hard. What happened? Was it hard? It was easy. That's what I'm trying to tell Noman Raza. It's not everything's hard. When you're given a challenge, you take that challenge. You give your best shot at the challenge. And if you don't achieve it, then what? At least you made the effort in. So don't give up. Without starting your challenge, sometimes we give up. Kids, make sure you take these challenges.
You think it's too hard. You just think it's too hard.
Yeah, sometimes you think it's too hard. But when you actually try it, it's not really that hard. You know, it took you a few minutes. Yeah, but I have to give you some clues, don't I? MashaAllah, we have another kid who has joined us in the studio. MashaAllah, he's getting ready now, inshallah. We're getting him wired up and he's going to be talking to us, inshallah, shortly. MashaAllah, we welcome him here. And I'm going to share with you some beautiful thing today. Are we ready, everyone? Are you ready, Noman?
Yeah.
Come on then. I've got some things on my table today. I've got two big books here. They're drawing books, okay? So one of them is, let me open this first one. Let's see what's on this page. Now, I don't know how clear you can see on the screen. MashaAllah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. SubhanAllah. This drawing that you can see of the Kalima Sharif, this great effort that someone has done. Who's made this drawing? Adam. MashaAllah. Adam has drawn this. Isa, your brother. So both of you have done some drawings here. So MashaAllah, well done. That's a really nice. MashaAllah, it's given a good effort. So you're doing it with a pencil first, yeah?
Yeah, with outliner.
Okay, with the outliner, then you colored it.
Yeah.
And someone's giving you 10 out of 10. Is that you? You're giving it yourself?
No, my brother did.
Your brother gave you a 10 out of 10. His younger brother giving him 10 out of 10 for writing the kalima. La ilaha illallahu Muhammadur Rasulullah. Good efforts, MashaAllah. We just need to double check the spellings later on, inshallah. But well, that was really good effort. Well done. This is called Saad. Is it Saad?
That was a joke for no reason. I don't know.
It's just a book. Okay, then. Let's go for it. Oh, that's a nice picture as well. MashaAllah. The name of Allah. SubhanAllah. These are signs of loving Allah Ta'ala. SubhanAllah. Another beautiful picture. MashaAllah. Well done. That's a beautiful drawing. MashaAllah. And guess what is drawn here? SubhanAllah. Are we ready, everyone? Look at this. How beautiful is this? The picture of Kaaba Sharif. Wow. So nice, isn't it? Beautifully drawn. And look at the color scheme. Wow. It's so nice. What's this white part? The clouds?
Yeah.
The white part is the clouds. Look at the Kaaba Sharif. May Allah Ta'ala show these both kids, Adam and his brother Isa, a chance to actually go and visit the Kaaba Sharif with his family, with their family, inshallah. And guess what? Look at this. Another beautiful picture. SubhanAllah. That is amazing. It's so nice. MashaAllah, you can see the picture of the Kaaba Sharif in the middle and the Medina Sharif at the bottom. SubhanAllah. And this side, you can see the word Allah. Yeah, they wrote the word Allah here. And is this the Medina Sharif picture? Yeah. Another picture of Medina Sharif. Wow, this is their love for Makkah and Medina. SubhanAllah. Well, MashaAllah, you've done a really good job on these. MashaAllah. And I think here, some of the names of Allah Ta'ala. MashaAllah, he wrote some of the names of Allah Ta'ala. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Aziz. MashaAllah, that was really nice as well. And you know, the name of Allah Ta'ala in different ways. MashaAllah, it's beautiful. Well done. So nice of you. SubhanAllah. Great artwork. MashaAllah. And really nice color scheme as well. MashaAllah. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. He's done really, really nice work here. SubhanAllah. Can you explain this to me? So this is Adam's slides and this is Isa's slides. So what does that mean? You got the Kaaba Sharif?
No, that's my side, but I drew and he drew the other side.
So that's your side, but you drew here?
No, I drew there.
You drew there?
And he drew there.
So it's like a competition then.
Yeah.
Who did the best? That's a challenging one. Who drew the best one here? Is it Adam or is it Isa? Can everyone please tell us whose drawing is the more better? Both of you are nice. Both of you have done excellent. MashaAllah. Well done. MashaAllah. And they wrote the name Muhammad as well. SubhanAllah, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. MashaAllah, beautiful artwork here. Well done to both of you and congratulations to the whole family. I think, did you try Bismillah here?
Yeah.
Wow, that's so nice. Wow. Beautiful artwork. MashaAllah. SubhanAllah. And here, at the end, what have you wrote here? The
99 names of Allah.
This is in the Arabic. Okay, you tried to write in Arabic here. MashaAllah, well done for all that effort. It's amazing. This is one of the ways to express our love for Allah Ta'ala. SubhanAllah. This is how you use your brain, your skills, your creativity, you know, to make some Islamic artwork. SubhanAllah, beautiful. Well done, MashaAllah. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. As-Samad, Al-Hafiz, Al-Rahman, Al-Mu'min, Allah. Subhanallah. Well done. That was really nice. So beautiful. I would like to reach out to his brother, Isa as well. Isa, mashallah, proud of you. Well done. Mashallah, that was some excellent piece of work here. And there's another beautiful thing they've done as well. Another beautiful artwork they've done. And this is amazing. This is amazing. Are we ready for it? Are we ready for it? You want to see it, Oman?
Yeah.
Come on then, let's reveal it then. This is another piece of work. And who did this?
Me, this time.
So Adam, who's here in the studio, he wrote this here. This beautiful, beautiful, you know, piece of artwork. And this is, subhanallah. Wow, that's so amazing. MashaAllah, this is so great work. A lot of effort here to write Suratul Fatiha, the opening chapter of the Holy Quran. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. The whole chapter up to there. This is Suratul Fatiha he wrote. And look how nice, how neat he wrote it. Wow, MashaAllah. And then he wrote the beginning part of Suratul Baqarah from Alif Lam Mim. Wow, so good. Wow, well done. Well done, both of you, mashallah. And this is, again, why would you do that? Because you do this out of love for the Quran. Continuation of Surah Al-Baqarah, mashallah. Subhanallah, beautiful artwork. Well done, mashallah, to both of you. And congratulations, Mubarak, to the whole family as well. It's an honor. It's a beautiful thing to have, mashallah. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. You got your hand up, Muhammad Azhar.
I want to give a challenge to Adam to write in Arabic for Zani Medina, ni anais.
MashaAllah. That's a nice one. So our center is Fezani Medina and Education Center. Okay, Fezani Medina and Education Center. I'll give you the spellings and maybe you could do a bit of artwork on it.
All right.
And also because we're in I Love Islam program. Yeah, I want you to do two more artworks. One is three if you want to.
Alright.
Yeah, three pieces of artworks would be nice. One, you can say, I love Islam.
Yeah.
So both of you can do our competition. Yeah, I love Islam.
I'm actually writing Surah Yasin, so I might link it to that.
That you could do it. I want you to do a separate page on this.
Alright.
Full page on this, okay? So I love Islam, and then do one about Madani Channel.
Alright.
Write Madani Channel, the logo, and however you want to do it. Let's see the turnaround. Let's see how quickly you can get this done. MashaAllah, in the studio, we have another kid who has joined us. He's a new kid in our program. Let's go find out who has just joined us here. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
How are you doing today?
Good.
MashaAllah. Can you tell us your name?
Ahmed.
Ahmed. MashaAllah, we have Ahmed in the studio. Welcome to I Love Islam program. MashaAllah, are you excited?
Yeah.
When did you find out that you need to come here?
My dad.
Your dad told you, but when was it? Today?
Yeah.
How did you feel when your dad told you?
Happy.
You're happy, you're excited. MashaAllah. Have you watched this program before?
No.
MashaAllah, this is your chance to actually see the program from the studio. MashaAllah. And we are going to talk to Ahmed, inshallah. We're going to have some fun time, inshallah. So we're going to talk to you. But because it's time for a little break, we'll be back, inshallah. But we won't leave you like this. We're going to leave you with one beautiful segment called Show Your Talent. And today we're going to show you some more videos from Madrasatul Madina, Accrington, inshallah. Azawajal. Let's watch Show Your Talent.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
يا صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم والحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال ديني يا ربي مصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم والمعيتي الله make me a حافظ of the Quran and give the strength to act according to the Quran. Oh Allah, let me always give respect to all my teachers and give me the strength to always honor and serve my parents. May I with my parents and the top and all my teachers visit the beloved city of Medina. I love Islam. I love Ramadan.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول صدق الله العظيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My name is Muhammad Abdullah and I study in Fezzani Medina, Accrington. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me the strength to become a Hafiz.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول صدق الله العظيم.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Uzair Qureshi. Alhamdulillah, I've completed Hifz, and today I'm going to talk to you about the actions that break the prayer. One thing that breaks the prayer is talking. Second thing is replying to someone's salam or giving salam during prayer. The third thing is replying to someone's knees.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Moiz Iqbal and I study at Madrasatul Medina, Accrington, UK. Today I will read a not for you.
Chamak tujhse paate hai sab paane wale Chamak tujhse paate hai sab paane wale
wale mera dil bhi chamka de chamkane wale mera dil bhi chamka de chamkane wale tu چھپ جانے والے چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے برستا نہیں دیکھ کر بدو پر بھی برسا دے برسانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے میرا چمکا دے چمکانے والے.
In this world, if a person of authority, somebody who is in a senior position, were to rebuke you, were to reprimand you, were to say something negative about you, you'd feel really bad. You'd feel humiliated that such a person, high rank, has said this about me. That could be a teacher, that could be the father, that could be any person you hold with high esteem. And if they say something bad about you, or they say they're disappointed in you, you'd feel really bad. You'd feel you've been destroyed. Your happiness will go. Without comparison, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that to you, or said, may you be disgraced, may you suffer loss. Imagine how bad that would be. Because he is the best of all creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one can reach his rank. No one can attain his blessed rank. And in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually said this regarding three individuals. Allahu Akbar. And the reason for mentioning this narration is so that we as Muslims can refrain from the acts that have been mentioned in this hadith. We can stay away from this statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that may you be disgraced. Listen to the hadith carefully. In the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may the person who hears me being mentioned but does not recite salat upon me be disgraced. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam is mentioned before you, you don't recite Durood Sharif, salat ala nabi. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, may that person be disgraced. Allahu Akbar. We must recite salat ala nabi. May the person who finds Ramadan but is not forgiven before it departs be disgraced. Again, you reach Ramadan. You spend the entire month of Ramadan, but you do not gain the glad tidings of forgiveness. The Prophet ﷺ said, may that person be disgraced. We have to think, are we honoring Ramadan every year? Are we dishonoring it? Are we disrespecting it? What are we doing? What's our state? And thirdly, the Prophet ﷺ said, may the person who has elderly parents but does not enter paradise by respecting and serving them, be disgraced. Again, ponder, reflect. Many of us have elderly parents. They need our help. They need us to be there for them. If we don't help them, if we don't serve them, and instead we earn their wrath, we disrespect them, then this dua of the Prophet ﷺ, may that person be disgraced, will fall upon such a person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to avoid the things that have been mentioned in this hadith, to avoid humiliation, to avoid disgrace. And we should instead treat our parents well. We should instead honor Ramadan, fast properly in Ramadan, abiding by the etiquettes. And we should recite Salat ala Nabi in abundance. May Allah give us tawfiq to do so. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back. MashaAllah, we have a few kids here in the studio. Ahmed has just joined us. MashaAllah, for the first time, he's here in our Madri Channel studio. How are you doing, Ahmed?
Good.
MashaAllah. Do you want to read anything? Do you know any kalima? You want to read kalima sharif? Come on, read. Come on, read kalima sharif to me. Read to me. La ilaha, read to me.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Muhammadur
Rasulullah.
Yeah, say this word, Muhammadur.
Muhammadur.
Say the ha more clear. Muhammadur.
Muhammadur
Rasulullah. MashaAllah, well done. On Thursdays, what special thing do we have in Fizana Medina? Every Thursday.
Jum'ah.
Weekly?
Weekly.
What's it called? You attend that one, don't you? Weekly Ijtima. Yeah, weekly Ijtima, MashaAllah. MashaAllah, Ahmed attends weekly Ijtima. We've got a few important segments to do. Time is short, so we're going to still try to do something as well, so we learn something from each segment. So without any delay, let's go to our next segment, Islamic Heroes.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
14.
Welcome to our segment, Islamic Heroes. SubhanAllah, in this segment, we get a chance to learn about some great personalities of Islam. Those people who do so much work to spread the beautiful teachings across the world. Some great individuals. They do so much. They have a very high rank in Islam. And at the moment, we're going through the Sahaba series. We're going through the Honorable Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So I'm going to give you guys a clue. And let's see if you can guess which Sahabi we're going to talk about. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This companion, his name starts with Ayn. Abd. Abdur something. You have to say full names. It's Abdul Rahman. Ahmed's got it right, but you have to say more as well. Abdul Rahman bin something. Very famous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the Sahaba are very important, very great. Some Sahaba have a very high status in some certain aspects. Abdul Rahman bin Auf. This personality, maybe kids out there, you didn't know this name before as well, but remember this name. Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is one of the mighty and great companion of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He is also one of those people who accepted Islam at the early stage. Very early stage. You could say maybe in the first 10 people, maybe. Yeah, but very early stage. I couldn't find exactly which number, but it was very early stage. He is also from the Ashra-i Mubashshara. This companion is from Ashra Mubashshara, are those companions who were given the glad tiding of entry to paradise. They've been given guarantee that you will go to Jannah. This guarantee came directly from Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, best ever thing someone could ever have. SubhanAllah. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that companion who belongs to the category of those Sahaba, the top 10 companions who are known as Ashra-i Mubashshara. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he belonged to a tribe called Bani Zuhra or Banu Zuhra. Okay? Banu Zuhra, and this was a family of Quraysh. So the Qurayshi tribe. And this is going to be interesting now. An interesting fact about Sayyidina Abdul Rahman. His name is Abdul Rahman, but that was his original name. Before Islam, he had a different name. And kids, maybe you've not heard this before as well. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu was known as one of the names that has been mentioned. He was known as Abdul Kaaba. Abdul Kaaba, the slave of Kaaba. Now, in Islam, we don't say slave of Kaaba. We say slave of Allah. Okay? So he was known as Abdul Kaaba. And when he was blessed with the nur, the guidance of Islam, when he accepted the Islam, then the beloved Prophet ﷺ changed his name and gave him the beautiful name Abdul Rahman. Subhanallah. So this name was given to him by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he lived up to around 72 or 75 years, and he passed away in the caliphate of the third caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he passed away in the year 31 or 32 Islamic Hijri. Okay. And his resting place, his mazar, his shrine is in Jannatul Baqi. Can someone tell me where is Jannatul Baqi? It's in the city of Medina. Jannatul Baqi is the main graveyard in Medina Sharif. Okay. Around 10,000 Sahaba Ikram are resting over there. Okay, when we say, when we talk about the pious people, we don't say they died or they are buried. We use the word resting. They are resting.
Even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there.
The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is also in the beautiful city of Medina Sharif. And however, the shrine and the resting place of Rasulullah, the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is actually under the green dome. The green dome that we see. So under that exact place, well, inside the earth, that place. Okay, so this graveyard is slightly bit out from there. It's walking distance, but it's not exactly that close. Okay, this Gumbad Sharif, the Green Dome, is surrounded by the Masjid Nabawi Sharif. Okay, subhanallah. We are talking about Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When it comes to top businessmen, top people, richest people on the earth, and when we look at Islamic people, we find Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu at near the top. He's one of the richest people who lived. Well, look at this now. Today we're talking about Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He had a clothing business. But this is something very interesting I want to share with you. It looks like we won't be able to cover a few of the segments today, but this is really interesting. I want to share this with you. And Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu is one of those companions who left his home city, Makkatul Mukarramah, and he migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. So when Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinah Sharif, he was one of those companions who also migrated. He left Makkah Sharif and he chose Madinah Sharif as his residence. It's not an easy decision to leave your house. Yeah, but he's one of those people who migrated to Madinah Sharif. And those companions, those lucky people who migrated to Madinah Sharif, they are known as Muhajirun. Muhajirun, the migrators. Okay, those who migrated. And Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf is one of them. And those people who were already there in Madinah Sharif, those Muslims who were already there in Madinah Sharif, the companions, those people who accepted Islam and they were in Madinah Sharif, they are known as Ansar. Okay, one category is called Muhajirun, the other one is called Ansar. What are they called?
Muhajirun and Ansar.
Ahmed, can you say it? Those who migrated, what are they known as?
Ansar.
They are known as Muhajirun. They migrated. And those who were in Medina Sharif, they are called Ansar. Now look what happens. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu migrates to Medina Sharif. And subhanallah, this was a very historic moment for the Muslims. Remember, so many companions have come, left Makkah Sharif, they've arrived in Medina, but they don't have a house. They don't have their own homes here. They don't have a family here. They don't have their own place here. So what do they do? Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Allahu Akbar, decided with a beautiful strategy to help out the Muhajir people. And decided was that the Ansar Sahaba, they shared their homes, their belongings with the Muhajir companions. They gave them a place in their homes.
So they were all together.
They welcomed them. They welcomed the Muhajir Muslims and they gave them space in their homes. And that was their love. That was their welcoming way. No, welcoming of the Muhajir people. And what happened? One companion was, who is known as Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This companion, Umar Raza, he was made the companion with Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf. So Sayyidina Sa'd was the local from Medina Sharif. He was the Ansar, from the Ansar Sahaba. And he was given the responsibility to look after and cater for Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was so excited, he had so much love and affection for Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu,
that he presented half of his wealth to Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf. Today, from today, you're my brother, and half of my belonging, half of my wealth is yours now. That is not an easy thing to do. That is amazing. That is, you have to have a big heart to do this. Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, out of love, now I want to give half of my wealth to you. It's yours. And Allahu Akbar, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a man of dignity. He had an honor. And he said, may Allah ta'ala bless you. He was happy for him. But he said, I'm sorry, I cannot accept this offer. You keep your possession with you.
Why did he say that?
Don't worry. No, he accepted the like an appreciation, but he said, look, I want to do it myself. I want to do my own business. I want to earn myself. I don't want to be depending on anyone. And that is a beautiful thing to have as well, this quality. So he said, I won't accept this offer. He said, in what you can do though, just show me the direction, direct me towards the marketplace. Tell me where's the local market here. And Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him the direction of market Qaynuqa. There's a place called Qaynuqa, the market Qaynuqa. Okay. And he told him that where this place is, this market area. And Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he started going there daily. He would go there every day for trade, for buying and selling things. He started going there regularly to see how the market is, and he started selling items. This is how he started business.
So that's how he got his money.
And subhanAllah, his business was so fortunate, he's so lucky, that beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, he did dua for him, because he used to love giving charity. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf used to love giving charity. Subhanallah. Once in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, I have left half of wealth for my family, and half of my wealth I bring it to you. He gave half of his wealth to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so that it can be distributed. Now, what happened? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became so happy and gave him a dua. He earned a dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dua is Subhanallah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "May Allah, the Most High, bestow blessing in what you have given." What you have given, the charity, may Allah Ta'ala give blessings in that. And may Allah give blessings in what you have left for your family. So may Allah give blessings in both of your wealth. The one you have given in charity and the one you left for your house. So this dua, may Allah give blessings in your wealth. Which, who give the dua? The beloved Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam. And look at the result of this. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I had so much trust and hope in this dua that a time came that whenever I picked up a stone, I felt that whenever I pick a stone, and then I had hope by the blessing of the dua of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, I will get gold underneath it. So in other words, I have so much belief in this dua and the power of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, that if I touch any stone, I believe there'll be gold inside it. So whenever I tried something, I got so much income out of it. And a time came, how much wealth did he have? When Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away, Allahu Akbar, he left behind so much wealth. So much gold is beyond our understanding. Just to make us understand, scholars have written, it's mentioned that after his blessed passing away, people, when they were cutting the gold that was left behind, they had so much gold when they were cutting it and putting it into place and taking it away, and there was so much gold that he left behind, they would cut it with axes. They would cut so much gold, and their hands would have blisters on them. Their hands would have blisters. That's how much gold he left behind. So he's one of the richest people on the earth. Sayyidina Rahman bin Auf, when he passed away, Allahu Akbar, do you know what he left behind? And this is the sign, this shows how rich he was. Allahu Akbar. When Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he left this world, he left, Allahu Akbar, with 1,000 camels.
1,000 camels. And not just this. 1,000 camels, 3,000 goats, and 100 horses. 100 horses. Allahu Akbar. He was a huge businessman. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala gave him all these blessings through the blessings of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman bin Auf, he was given this title once the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said to him that Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman bin Auf is among the traders of Rahman. Yeah, he's known as Min Tujjar al-Rahman. Min Tujjar al-Rahman. He is from the traders of Rahman. He's a pious trader, he's a pious businessman. So he had a very high status in Islam. May Allah Ta'ala shower immense mercy upon the resting place of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And through his generosity, his kindness, may we be blessed with some of the ability and the heart to give in the way of Allah Ta'ala as well. Subhanallah, this was just a glimpse of the greatness of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf. Inshallah, in the next program, we will select another great personality and we'll be learning about some facts from the life of that personality, inshallah. Now it's that time of the day where we do have to close the program. We missed out two segments, but because it was a great Sahabi and I didn't want to miss out some interesting facts from his life. Now we're going to go straight to the answer of the day. Who knows the answer now? The question is, which surah comes after Surah Hud? Do you think you know the answer? Yeah. Which surah is it?
It's surah.
Say nice and loud. Look at the screen and say the answer.
It's Surah Yusuf.
It's Surah Yusuf. What do you think? Is it right or wrong?
I think it's right.
Why do you think it's right?
Because Surah Yunus comes before Surah Hud.
No, we're talking about which Surah comes after Surah Hud. Not before it, after it. We're going to find out. Let's look at the screen then. The answer is Surah Yusuf. Subhanallah, well done to all the kids who got the correct answer, mashallah. And we did a practical session as well where Nu'man Raza had to open the glorious Quran, actually find Surah Hud, and then carry on looking which surah comes afterwards, mashallah. Well done to Nu'man Raza, and well done to all the kids, mashallah, who did that exercise. May Allah Ta'ala bless you, keep you well. May Allah Ta'ala shower His immense mercy upon you and your whole family. Please stay tuned. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. I love Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love